Chuck Chat Podcaster Profiles with Paul Nichols from Podcast Paul. Hello and welcome to Chuck Chat. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. Thanks for downloading and listening to this show. This is a segment I call Podcaster Profiles. The purpose is to talk to other podcasters and find a little bit more about the person behind the microphone on some of your favorite podcasts and expose you to some podcasts you might not otherwise have known about. This week, I interview Paul Nichols from Podcast Paul. I first heard about Paul's show through the Richard Vogue's radio show. However, it was a while before I had a chance to actually sit down and listen to it. But once I did, I subscribed and I have stayed subscribed. Paul is an incredibly busy man, as you will hear in this interview. In fact, Paul was willing to give up some of his sleep to do this. I had an interview at 1:30 a.m. in the UK. Now that is a true friend. So here we go with Paul Nichols from Podcast Paul. Welcome to the show, Paul.
How you doing, Chuck?
Good, good. How about yourself? I just asked that.
I'm doing ever so well, mate. Thanks. I'm a bit tired. It's 1:30 a.m.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I don't know how you're keeping your eyes open. Well, we'll give you some excuses if anything goes awry.
Who said anything about keeping my eyes open, mate? I have actually got my eyes closed.
Gets you into the whole spiritual thing.
Yeah, sure.
Puts you in the other podcasting time and place.
Oh, yeah.
First, tell the listener a little bit about Podcast Paul, your show. What's it all about?
Well, somebody else asked me this earlier this evening, and I my mind's sort of cranking into action here. What's it about? Gosh, it's about anything and everything, really. I don't know, sometimes, I actually started off, the very first podcast I did was a whiskey tasting evening. It was me and a friend of mine, and we drank a bottle of whiskey each. That was in December last year. Then I started talking about 80s music. Which was really, really great. And then I suddenly realised the copyright issue, so I thought, hang on a minute. And now, what do I talk about? I talk about other podcasts, talk about unsigned music, mainly UK-based, and I love looking at journals from around the world as well, you know, sort of weird stories and things like that. Saying that, Chuck, I've been really focusing on the London bombings, actually, just recently.
You've got I like the way you give your own perspective into these stories as well. I mean, it's okay. It's not just regurgitating journalism. You're giving it from a unique perspective, and I like that.
Oh, it's. I think it's. You know, anybody can just read it out of the paper, can't they, I suppose? But particularly with the London bombing, it was quite close to me, really, because my uncle Mark, who's blind, he works and lives in London. And he literally missed being on the tube that was sort of devastated by... Well, he actually missed that tube. He missed the tube that day, and it really made me think, you know. So, very interesting, really.
Wow! That brings it home, doesn't it?
Well, in fact, if you listen to... Sorry, it's not a blatant plug, but if you listen to the last show, I actually have a discussion with my Uncle Mark. He missed the tube. He actually started out and then went back to fetch a transformer. He works for the Royal National Institute for the Blind, and his raincoat. And he actually he ended up missing the tube, that tube, and he would have been within, he reckons, probably 100 yards of the blast. Incredible, really.
Wow. That is incredible. Well, tell the listener where you are in relationship to London.
Okay. Well, England's very small. A lot of people don't actually understand just how small we are. But the whole of Britain, from the sort of south of England, where Vobes is, I know you know Richard, right to the tip of Scotland, is about 900 miles. And across, well, you know, I'm right in the centre of England. I can actually get to the coast on the east and the west within about an hour and a half. So I'm right in the middle of England. If you look at a map of England, stick your thumb in the middle, you'll be touching my head.
That's where you're in Birmingham. Are you not?
Yeah, I'm Birmingham, that's okay. Right. Birmingham. I live very close to Bourneville, the chocolate factory.
It cracked me up because there's a Birmingham, Alabama, and you mentioned that one of your listeners said, "Oh, I live there too. You must have copied us."
Yes. I think other great quotes are, "Hey, what part of Scotland? No, what part of England is Scotland?" I said, "The same part that Canada is in the United States." And the other one is, "Oh, you live near London? Yeah. Oh, I know somebody called John. Do you know him?" Oh, yes,
right.
John. Yeah.
I got that once when I went to Central America. Somebody said, "You're from the United States? I have an aunt in Boston."
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. The one with two legs. Yeah, that one.
Now, how much time do you spend putting your show together?
Honestly, you're not going to believe this, all day. In fact, I keep Skype on. And when I'm at work, I always think about the show, no matter what I'm doing. I can literally be sort of travelling to and from court, or I can even be sitting with it. In fact, I actually sat with a client once, and then I realised, hang on a minute, this bloke is a lord. I'm going to interview him. So we sort of finished I finished giving him some advice. I said, "Look, I've got this small internet radio station. Can I interview you?" So, mate, it permeates every waking moment that I have. It really does. It's brilliant. But you know that, mate. Yeah, I was just about to say.
Now, what do you do in real life? What do you do when you're not producing podcast, Paul?
Okay, take a deep breath. I'm a lawyer. I deal with sort of catastrophic injury claims and partnership disputes and contract law, tort and contract mainly. But apart from that, I'm a governor. I play drums in a band. I've got four boys. Oh, I don't know. There's a whole list of stuff, Chuck. I get exhausted thinking about what I don't do, to be honest.
Well, how did you get mixed up in this podcasting thing?
Right. Somebody at work actually mentioned to me that they had heard something on BBC. This was back in about September, and I thought, wow, that's absolutely fantastic. What a brilliant idea. It was Adam Curry on BBC Culture. And it took me from sort of September to December to work out, A, what an MP3 file was, B, what an RSS file was, and, you know, the rest was history, really. I knew what to say, and I hadn't got any problem with content and all the rest of it, but I am the world's worst tech person. I really am useless. Yeah, I can plug the mic in and talk, and that's just about it from me, really.
So I suppose that shoots down my next question. Do you consider yourself a geek?
Nah, not at all.
I think you're the first person who said no to that question.
Yeah. To be honest, if I compare myself to my dad or my nan, yes. But or Abraham Lincoln, but every other podcaster in the world, no. I am the world's worst geek, without question. No, I'm much more interested in content than awful thing. But I listened to one podcast and it went, "What's inside your Mac?" And I just thought, I don't know, and I'm not interested. And I switched it off.
Yeah. Well, what was your first computer?
It was a ZX81, a Spectrum ZX81. Do you remember those? Did you have those over in the States? It was a 1K machine.
No, I was going to add. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, 1K.
That goes back a while.
It was 1981. Yeah, 1981. So that was my very first PC.
And what was the first podcast you listened to?
It was either darkcompass.com, Rowley from Dark Compass.
Yeah.
No, it can't have been. It must have. It must have been. It must have been Alan Curry, of course, because from September, October time. But the first British podcast I listened to was Dark Compass, yeah.
What did you think when you heard that?
I thought to myself, wow, this bloke sounds like David Brent from The Office. It really made me, it just made me smile, because it was just, Raleigh's a very dear friend of mine, but I just loved how amateur it was. Now, I don't mean that in any derogatory way. I just thought, this is really, really refreshing, because Adam Curry's was very professionally done and all the rest of it, but it was some bloke saying, hello, I'm just on the train and I'm a bit bored now. Trundle. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought, wow, this is really interesting. It was strangely compelling, you know. And then I had some bloke contact me saying, hello, I like your show. I'm trying to work out how to work out what an RSS feed is. My name's Richard Vobes. And the rest is history.
A legend was born, yes.
That's right. Yeah, he's a good fellow, Richard. Good mate.
He said you've been very supportive from the beginning.
Yeah, I can honestly say that I'd listened to show number one. In fact, I listened to show minus one, I think, with... I think it was Jimmy, actually. I think Jimmy and Richard were... They put a test feed up. But yeah, that's it. I think I even listened to the legendary show 11. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm fed up of it. Nobody's listening to me.
I got a bootleg copy of that. Yes, I've heard it.
Yeah, I think, I think I actually may have a copy of that somewhere myself. I might put it to music and then bribe Vobes with it, you know. So there we go.
Oh, that would be fun. He's got show 200 coming up. We should hang that over his head.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I don't know where he gets his energy from, and I haven't got a clue how he does it. Blimey.
No, that's the way he is in real life, as I understand it.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, he is, and he's a nice guy. I met Richard back in January, February time, and yeah, lovely guy. I was just absolutely gobsmacked by all of his equipment. Could not get over how many microphones and headphones and flashing buttons and things he's got. You know, very good, very good.
His portable rig is the same as my desktop rig.
Really? Well, that does not surprise
me. Yeah, he was helpful in setting me that up as well.
Yeah.
Well, what software are you using to produce your podcast? It sounds very good.
Ah, okay. Thanks for that. Well, a variety of things, really. I started off with Audacity, but I was really irritated by the sort of swooshy sounds that you get, you know. Then I progressed to Mixcast Live, which I was very pleased with. I've still got that. Then I progressed to Cubase, which I use now, but I tend to use a mixer. I've got an Elite. Here's me saying I'm not a geek, blimey. I've got an Elesis Multimix USB 8, which with a studio mic. So nothing really very very flashy. And I tend to have all of my effects and all those sort of things loaded up on QuickTime. So you know, no rocket science to it really.
Just as you're going through the show, click, and it plays.
Yeah, that's right. It depends how the mood takes me. I much prefer doing a live show than, you know, sort of preparing layers. I think it's a bit stymied when you do a layered show. And in fact, funnily enough, it was Richard that said that to me. He said, you really want to try a live feel rather than just do layers, and because it just keeps the tempo. And he's absolutely right, he's absolutely right.
Did you start out doing heavy editing and cutting and splicing?
Nah, not at all. I've never done that. I've never cut out ums and ahs and coughs and sniffs and toilet flushes, because I think that all adds to it, to be honest. I love the amateur feel. The one thing that I can't stand, though, is listening to a podcast where the audio is just awful. It grates on the ears. I don't mind ums and ahs, though, at all. You the same, Chuck?
There's a certain level. I can take poor audio quality if the content is compelling, if it's something I'm truly interested in, but I definitely prefer the higher quality, and I don't mind listening to it if the person knows they've got poor quality and they're aiming for a higher goal. They'll say, yes, I'm getting a new microphone in a month, I'm saving up for a new mixer. I know that they're aiming to get better, but if it goes by 6-7 months and they still sound like they're coming out of an AM radio with one speaker missing, then it gets a little irritating.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. The one thing that really, really annoys me is, hello, I haven't really got very much to talk about today. So you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute, I'm giving you my time here, mate. I've got, you know, 57 podcasts lined up. As soon as I hear that, you know, it's a salutary lesson for us all. You know, click, the off button goes, and something else goes on.
And it's hard to get a listener back when you've lost them. It's kind of like going to a bad restaurant, and, you know, it may have been one bad experience, but you may never come back to that restaurant because of that one bad experience.
Yeah, that's actually happened with me a couple of times. It wouldn't be fair to say, you know, whether, which podcasts were ever, but I've listened to some. I'm very like you, Chuck, and very like Richard as well. I don't like sort of cursing and swearing and stuff. I like something that I can listen to when the kids walk past. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm a real protagonist with regards to that. And, you know, I know an awful lot of people listen to Dawn and Drew. I gave them about 68 seconds, and then I thought, I'm not going to listen to you again. I just don't like what I'm listening to. I'm actually quite choosy, and I think actually I think sometimes we take our listeners for granted, and it's something really that I've started to think about a lot recently, to be honest.
I always try to thank people for listening in every show.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you another good thing as well. If people write to you, it's very good to write back, I think. That's the other lovely thing about podcasting. It's wonderful to be able to, you know, do a show, and the reward for me is the fact that people listen. I think that's, you know, that really blows me away. I think it's wonderful that people want to take the time. But particularly when people take the time to drop you a line as well, it's lovely to just drop them a line back as well, you know. I like that. I think that's great.
It's nice interacting like that. I mean, I mentioned earlier today that people have their favorite television shows, they have their favorite radio shows, but mm-hmm. how many of those can you actually establish a relationship with the presenter? It seems like it only happens in podcasting that you can start emailing these even famous people back and forth. If they've got a podcast, for some reason, it's just easy to drop them an email and they get back and you start going back and forth. And I like it. I like the camaraderie between the podcasters, and I like the relationship that the podcaster builds with the listener.
Yes, I do. So I think it's absolutely. I think it's very important as well, and I think it's the real reason that podcasting is growing, you know, to the exponential extent that it really is. It's wonderful.
I think the quote unquote independent podcasters have an advantage over the professionals in that area. I mean, you may hear some of these professionals doing a podcast and go, oh, goody, you know, I can listen to my favorite show and take it away in my MP3 player. But you're not going to get that same, you know, drop me a listener line or send me an email and start corresponding back and forth quite the same with the professional or commercial podcasters as you do with the indies.
No, that's right. Well, the thing is, I think when people, you know, when independent people are doing this really because of the passion of it, that's what drives you, you see. With commercial radio, of course, the driven force is, you know, revenue, and I think that's just a shame, you know, when you're hearing say a compelling story and you're thinking, oh, this is really good, and then suddenly it's broken and you're listening to somebody talking about dog food or insurance. It's unreal, isn't it, really? I haven't listened to commercial radio, honestly, since January, February time. Completely switched it off.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple, and it's usually because, oh, I forgot my MP3 player.
Well, I'll tell you what I do in the car. I have a couple of rewritable discs, and I burn, you know, some shows, and then I stick them into my sort of multi-stacked CD player, and that's the way that I listen to them, because I can get great quality then. Nothing really seems to work properly in the car. I've got a little sports car, a little two-seater sports car. It's so noisy, you know. So that's the best way. I love doing that. I think that's very good.
Now, you are a married man.
I certainly am.
What does your wife think about your podcasting?
She often refers to herself as a podcasting widow. she says, are you married to that thing? And she talks about one of my... well, listen to this. Actually, you know, you said I'm not a geek. I can't believe I'm even telling you this. I've got three laptops and two desktops. That's awful, isn't it? And the reason that I've got that is that I couldn't bear not to do the podcasting. So if the one breaks, the other one's there. Isn't that sad?
Well, that answers a bit about the next question. How has podcasting changed or impacted your life? I know you do your shows typically late at night, so it really doesn't impact the family life so much.
Oh, I think that's really important. Yeah, I've also been doing them at lunchtime at work as well, and that's been really quite good. The way that podcasting has impacted my life, I suppose, in one respect, though, particularly during the working day, I'm organising the podcasting conference in the UK. And
yes.
This is no word of a lie, Chuck. Last week, the phone went on the one day. It was The Guardian. It went an hour later. It was Time Magazine. It went sort of an hour and a half later.
Really?
It was the BBC. Yeah, this is absolutely true. They're not interested in me. They couldn't care less about that. Well, that's fine. Don't mind. But what they're really interested in is the podcasting conference, you know, and that's absolutely terrific. I think that's wonderful. You know,
that is wonderful.
Yeah, it's staggered me just what interest has come forward about that, really. Got some brilliant people turning up as well. We've got the head of Virgin Radio. The head of Virgin Radio. In fact, it's not just the head of Virgin Radio. It's the head of... it's the head of Virgin... what's his title? James Cridland.
I was thinking of Richard Branson.
No, I wish it was Richard Branson, but it's the head of strategy and new media, that's right. James Crennan, a lovely guy. We're in talks with the BBC about somebody fairly senior coming from there. Ben Hammersley is a potential speaker. I've spoken to Dave Weiner in the hope that he was around. So I'm hoping that I may be able to get a Skype contact with Dave at least. There's just, you know, people are just crawling out the woodwork from everywhere. It's just wonderful, really.
That is wonderful. September 13th, if I remember right?
17th, September the 17th.
17th. Where can the listener find out more information about that?
On the PodcastCon site, which is www.podcastcon.co.uk, or more importantly on www.britcaster.com. If you're an Anglophile and you're interested in anything English / British, have a look at the Britcaster site, Chuck, because it's really good. There's 70 feeds up there now, including yours truly and Rich Vobes, and it's good, and there's such diversity as well. Brilliant, really, really good.
You've even got, I believe, some people that are Brits that are podcasting from the US.
Yeah, Steve Lacey is one of them. Yeah, Steve Lacey, a Brit abroad. I spoke to Chris Valance tonight, who does Pocket Planet? But Chris is a presenter for BBC on the Podding and Blogging show. There's quite a few people dotted about.
Wonderful. Now, if somebody told you a year ago that you would be doing podcasting, doing what you're doing, what would you have thought or what would you have said?
To be honest, yeah, I'd have believed that I would have been doing it because I've always, always enjoyed radio right from a kid. From the age of 11, from the age of 11, I was seriously into shortwave radio. I made my first transmitter in a bean tin from a Heath kit. when I was 12, I had a 13-valve tank radio. I then got into sideband, and I used to love CB, and I was making radio aerials and stuff. Now there I was, a real geek. To be honest, it's a very natural thing for me, and it's a great medium. I love it, absolutely love it.
Wonderful. You can tell. I can tell when I listen to your show.
Oh, thanks.
That it comes across that way.
Yeah, but you're the same. I mean, I love the way how confident you are. I love the interplay with your kids as well. I think that's really nice. And you know, it's the same with Richard as well. I think when people involve the family, it's really, really good. Really, really good. I like that. And again, it just brings it down to earth, doesn't it?
It does. It makes the listener feel like they're a part of the family. They're in the room with you. They're listening along, and it obviously has to have some interesting content to it. But
it does.
having the natural, you know, even awkwardness is better than scripted in many cases.
Oh, yeah, without question. It's a good idea to prepare. I mean, I would never suggest that any podcaster goes in unprepared. But, yeah, it's really... It's absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Having the real touch to it. Hey, I tell you what, the one thing I was going to say... I've had some bizarre things happen in podcasting too. I remember way back in about February time, January, February time, I remember talking about a story and I said, I can't believe this. Look at this. Over in the United States, apparently Sesame Street are really worried about the kids being obese. So Sesame Street have decided that the Cookie Monster now is not going to sing, you know, I Love Cookies, but his new song is Cookies Are a Sometimes Food. I said, who on earth... came up, this is what I was actually saying on the show. Who on earth came up with that? You know, I'd love to talk to the person within you know, the next day. Ping, hi Paul, my name's Richard Seigmeister, I'm the in-house counsel for Sesame Street. Yes, it's me, I listen to your show.
What? No, really?
But do you know the weird thing? I'm a really good friend with Leanne Westover from The Biddies. And I said, oh, fantastic, you're in New York. You must have, you know, seen the Lascivious Biddies. And he went back and said, mm-hmm. Who are they? So I said, mate, you've not heard of them. So I told him about them. And he said, hang on, I've just checked the schedule. They're actually playing next month. I'll go and see them. Where else in podcasting could a bloke in central England talk to a New York lawyer about a band that was playing around the corner? You know, how bizarre is that?
That is bizarre.
That was brilliant. Well, that was really funny. So there we are.
Are there any surprises or changes we can look forward to in your show?
I'm certainly not intending on having a sex change, so there's going to be nothing radical. Let me have a think. What else?
Yeah. It's not going to become podcast Paula.
Oh, yes. No, it's certainly not. I'll tell you what. Listen out. Yeah, there's a very good mate of mine, a guy called Dave Morgan, played with ELO. For 6 years, and he's got some fantastic independent Podsafe music where Jeff Lynne is actually on his backing track. So yeah, have a listen out for that. I'm going to have a good chat with Dave, and there are some other sort of musicians and things. So surprises? No, there's some great interesting features that are going to be coming, I think, and the podcasting conference will be podcasted. So do have a listen to that.
You'll have to point me to that music. I'm an ELO fan from way back.
Ah, okay. Well, the thing is, it's actually not available, so you'll actually really only hear it on the show. Blimey, that really is a bit of a scoop, isn't it, thinking about it?
Hey. Hmm. Now, how has your show changed since its inception? I know you talked about the music used to be the licensed stuff, and you've gotten away from that.
Yeah, okay. How has it changed? I suppose it's developed its own style in the sense it's sort of journalistic. I mean, sometimes it's really funny. Other times, you know, if the mood grabs me, it can be sort of really, I don't know, quite mellow and, you know, quite sort of searching in content, I suppose. I love Rob Coslow's music. Have you heard Rob Coslow's music, Chuck?
Oh, I have been playing it almost non-stop since I heard it on your show.
Fantastic.
Well, I love it.
I listen to that, and music is an incredible medium, and I just it's weird, but I instantly thought about like Martin Luther King's speech, and I set that to the music, and it's just things like that, really. It's just... And that's the wonderful thing about podcasting, just taking something and having the ability to, you know, to want to do that, you know. So I don't know. Sorry, Chuck, I'm waffling. I'm tired. And B, I'm doing what I always do, and that's talking. Sorry, mate.
About your favourite subject, you.
Oh no, I don't know if that makes me sound dreadful.
What would you say to somebody who is thinking about getting started with podcasting?
Okay, I think what I would do is to have a listen to probably half a dozen shows first that have been established. And a good idea is to look to see the shows that have got, say, more than 30 episodes. And just have a listen to the later episodes. And don't try and emulate or copy the style. but just have a listen. The thing is, if you listen to, let's be honest, you listen to Rich Vibes, you're not going to get the quality or the content, and you know, that's far too high an aspiration. But by the same token, you know, it's something good to aim towards, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is as well, one man's meat is another man's poison, isn't it, Chuck? You know, I looked on the on Vobes's forum, actually, and there was somebody who wrote a horrible comment to Richard, saying he didn't like the content. Well, you know, like I say, you know, one man's meat is another man's poison. I can't stand the Dawn and Drew sort of format, or Madge Weinstein. It makes me, oh, do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
It just makes my buttocks clench. It really does. I can't stand vulgarity. It really just, it turns me off.
I had tried Dawn and Drew as one of the first shows, and I it wasn't speaking to me. I tried it again a few months later, thinking, well, maybe that was a fluke, and I didn't want to be unfair, but no, after about two or three times, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, the thing is, look, let's be honest. I mean, if you had an adult content in nature, you know full well that you'd have far, far more people listen to you because they're after a cheap thrill. But to be honest, you can get that anywhere. And I think it's much harder. I think it's much more sensible to concentrate on decent content and, you know, content that's listenable by all. And I think that's to be applauded, really. And if it means less listeners, well, you know what? Hey, there we go. I'll just get less listeners. I don't mind at all.
Now, what podcast do you listen to regularly?
Oh, I listen to loads of podcasts regularly. I'll tell you what. I used to listen to Richard every single day, and then I dropped off Rich because I couldn't quite get my head around the PodShare thing. I've come around to that now, and I said to Richard, I'm going to be one of his subscribers within the next few days. So I'll be listening to Richard again. I tend to drop in and out, really. Like yours, Chuck, I'll probably listen to six of your shows at one stage on a Saturday as I'm doing some DIY or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Roger Smalls, I love Roger Smalls' stuff from the Daily Smalls Code. He records his show on a telephone that are about 10 minutes in length. Simulacrum, I love the Simulacrum, but there again, you see, there's some fairly bad language in that. Top of the Pods, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, they're absolutely superb. A guy called Kolsky, another one called Dark Compass. I could just go on and on. This Is England, brilliant podcast with Liz Forden and Chris Freer. It just goes on and on, Chuck, it really does. And I'll tell you what, I hope I don't sound xenophobic here, but I tend to listen to lots of British stuff. I really, really like the British stuff because it's so quirky.
I could tell really that from so the ones you were listening, yes.
Yeah, sure. But then again, Jimmy Jett. I mean, Jimmy Jett is just superb, isn't he? I mean, he really is just wonderful.
He's suave on the microphone. He's got it down.
Oh, he really is. And then, to be honest, you know, Curry, I listen to Adam Curry an awful lot because I think it's interesting to listen to the heat as to where things are going and content. But I have a love-hate relationship, really, with that.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening with Pod Show and commercial this, commercial that, you know. You know, great if Adam and the rest of them are making a lot of money. That's fair enough, but that's not what I'm into. I'm not really interested in that at all. But so there we go. I've also listened to Dave Weiner, but I just find it a little too geeky for me. Perhaps if I sit down and read some manuals on Windows and Macs and things, I might understand it more. That's not a criticism of Dave Weiner, not by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that I'm not a geeky guy.
All right, it's time for the quiz.
Okay.
If the following people were computers, what kind would they be and why?
Okay.
Your first person you listed was Winston Churchill.
Okay. He would be a Dell, I think, because they're horrible, they're ugly, but they're thoroughly dependable, and you know that when you switch them on, they'll work at any time. But you know, they don't talk to you properly, do they, Dell computers? I've got one. and Winston Churchill. Have you ever listened to Winston Churchill speak?
Yes.
Fantastic orator.
Yes.
But, you know, very, very difficult to understand. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Good answer. The second one, Billy Connolly.
What computer would he be?
Yes.
I think he would be a Mac, because everything goes so quick with Billy Connolly. Yeah, and you know, a lot of it can go over your head, can't it? So I think he'd be, sort of a Mac G5, super duper, lemon pooper, whatever, you know.
The next one, actor Hugh Grant. What kind of computer and why?
Ah, right, okay. It'd probably be a gold-plated, platinum-lined, top-of-the-range Sony Vaio, I expect. Very sleek and slender and very pretty.
Well, here's an interesting one. Jimi Hendrix.
What would he be? Oh, right, he'd be pretty funky, wouldn't he? Yeah, what would he be? I suppose he'd be an Apple... did you have the old BBC computers? Do you remember those from years back? They were Commodore, weren't they? They were sort of old-fashioned and really very British sort of things.
Oh, sure.
Jimi Hendrix wasn't British, but Jimi Hendrix said something that I thought was brilliant. He said that he always only ever really wanted to play with British musicians because he thought they were the best. So I thought, stick a Union Jack on that bloke, you know. I like Jimi Hendrix. I think he's great.
I thought it was interesting fact I'd heard about Jimi Hendrix when the Beatles had released Sgt. Pepper's. He bought it on a Friday, and he was performing it the following Monday. Before they had even performed it, he was out there playing it.
He was so well ahead of his time, mate. He really was. He was about 15 years too early, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. I really love Hendrix's stuff. I'm seriously into the guitar. Anything guitar, Steve Lukather. In fact, all the guitarists I like are American, to be honest. I think they're all great. I love Eddie Van Halen too. Sorry, mate. Anyway, we're talking about music, not people.
All
computers.
Right.
Go on, carry on.
Next one, Bart Simpson.
Right, what would that be? Computer. Ooh. Yeah, it'd be something that would always play up. So probably my Avoratech laptop, because it just does things unexpectedly, freezes at the drop of a hat.
Well, you're not getting any endorsements
CD,
from them.
The CD thinking, no, I don't expect to either. Yeah, and it's blinking noisy as well. The fan drives you putty. Yeah, hardly whisper quiet.
And the last one, I asked for a podcaster and you gave me Chris Skinner from Simulacrum. What kind of computer and why?
Okay, well, he'd be a very clever one. What's a very, very clever computer, Chuck? Because I'm not really. He'd be one of those handheld things that everybody wants. Because when I listen to Chris Skinner from Simulacrum, apart from his swearing, I think I want to be like that. I want one of the very swanky handheld computers. So whatever the swanky handheld computers are, the MDA3s or whatever it is that Curry's going on about.
Okay. Yep. All right. Anything I forgot to ask?
Anything you forgot to ask me? No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. Anything you'd like to? Well, tell them where they can find your show.
Okay. You can find the show at podcastpaul.com. If you're on iTunes, it's simply podcastpaul. And my journal, you can get a tab off that. It's on livejournal.com/users/EnglishPaul or mud.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. I know I've kept you up very late, but I appreciate your time.
Hey, mate, it's only 16 minutes past 2, don't worry. Chuck, for you, mate, I would do this on Christmas Day, at 20 past 4 in the morning. It's a real pleasure, mate. Lovely to speak to you.
Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure, mate. All the very best.
ChuckChat.com. Ramblings of a Technophile.
Thank you again for your time, Paul. I really enjoyed talking to you. If you are a podcaster or you listen to a podcast and are interested in hearing from your host or hostess, or both, get in touch with me at chuck@chuckchat.com. There's also the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, or you can reach me on Skype at chuck.tomasi. That's T-O-M-A-S-I. I also have two other shows, Chuck Chat Technorama with my co-host Craig Stepp, done twice a week, where we talk about tech, science, and all things geek. There's also Chuck Chat Freestyle, which is more of an audio blog, with all things fun family news, reviews, and interviews like this. All of this and more can be found at www.chuckchat.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, a binary high five, 101.